Pardon my French. Pardon my French. Pardon my French. Pardon my French.
Our expats from all over the French-speaking world are sharing their American adventure with emotion and humor, starting with New York. What did they bring and what made them stay? Dominique de Kock, Tamara Zuboff, and Hassania Kone are questioning them on their new vision of life.
Merci d'être avec nous et de passer cette heure à l'écoute de Pardon My French. Thanks for joining us on Pardon My French. Every year, in the third week of October, people throughout the globe gather to commemorate millions of lives lost in the conflict in the Congo, while celebrating the country's enormous human and natural potential. Congo Week, Breaking the Silence, that's the name of that week, is a week of activities, film screenings, teach-ins and forums, rallies, fundraisers, concerts. Students and community organizers initiated Congo Week in 2004, or is it 2008? 2004. Religious leaders, scholars, intellectuals, artists, and people like you and me throughout the globe also got involved to acknowledge the lives of the Congolese people and their pursuit for human dignity. That Congo Week goes from Sunday, October 19, to Saturday, October 25th. We're greeting today Kumbale Musavuli, the spokesman for the Friends of the Congo, a group that raises global consciousness about the situation in the Congo. Bonjour, Kumbale. Merci Bonjour. D'être avec nous. Thanks for being with us. Nelson Walker is joining us to talk about Congo in Harlem, which goes hand in hand with Congo Week, and that goes from October 16 to 26. Welcome to the show, Nelson.
Thanks for having me.
Alors, qu'y a-t-il au sommaire aujourd'hui? We're going to talk today about Kimbale's immigration in the U.S. and how he came to New York, his commitment to his home country, about Friends of Congo, of course, Congo Week, Breaking the Silence, and the 6th annual Congo in Harlem, which is an annual series of films and cultural events to deepen the community's understanding of the Congo. Congo Week, Breaking the Silence. What silence?
The silence that exists is the silence around the deaths in the Congo. Since 1996, over 6 million people have died due to the exploitation of mineral resources, mainly minerals that's used in electronic devices. There's been a land grab, access to resources, and of course, invasions by Congo's neighbors. Who, anytime I speak about Congo's neighbors, I always connect them to the foreign powers who want access to Congo's resources. When you look in the news, you don't hear about the Congo. People have heard about Iraq, they've heard about Afghanistan, about Syria, about the earthquake in Haiti, and the Philippines, typhoon, but they do not know that if you take in all the crises in the world today, it will not be equal to 6 million deaths. And in the Congo, 6 million deaths has happened, and half of them have been children under the age of 5.
That accounts for about 1,500 lives a day, I think, since 1996.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to break the silence around, that people need to know that in the heart of Africa, human beings just like us are losing their lives for the comfort that we have in using our cell phones, our laptop, our electronic devices, while the world does not know what is actually happening there.
Exactly. So, and that's what your commitment, your life commitment is about, is to break that silence. And Congo Week is all over the world.
Yes.
It's in the States, it's in, as I said, Montreal, Japan even.
Yes, and even New Zealand. You know, I always share the story of the young people in New Zealand, high school students who were so excited that New Zealand will be the first country to start Congo Week because of where they are actually located on the world map. And they were mobilizing students on the campus and people in the city, you know, students in Japan. The reason why they get engaged is because they discover that the uranium that was used to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki came from the Congo.
Oh, really?
And they, not even,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they say, wow, that we are a global world. We are all connected. While we suffer from the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Congolese still suffer till today that they don't have control of their resources, and these resources can end up in wrong hands and cause this chaos. So students at Osaka University every year have been organizing Congo Week in Japan. And of course, in Europe, we have few countries like Sweden and France, Belgium. We even have in the UK student groups in Oxford who are doing activities in the London school. I always forget the name of the school. The Oriental School, SOAS, that's the acronym. Okay. They are organizing Congo on the continent. Inside of the Congo, people are doing that. And why all of them are doing these activities, it's not just about speaking about the atrocities that's taking place, but also the potential, making people think, what if Congo was free today? What could the Congo do? Congo has the agricultural capacity to feed the whole entire world until 2050, when the world's population is 9 billion people. You know,
amazing, we have fish to that hear. Die there. So. Yeah, amazing to hear. And of course, it's a catastrophe, but what's uplifting today is that we have here on the show people that are doing something about it.
Exactly.
Plus, I hear in Congo Week, we also have people around the world doing something about it. And we will learn what we can do about it. If you have some practical tips to share with us, that would be terrific. But I want to talk about you first, if that's okay. From what part of Congo are you?
Difficult for me to answer. I was born and raised in Kinshasa, in the western part of the country. And my family is from the east, specifically from North Kivu. My dad and mom are from Beni and Butembo in the east. So I can always claim both sides of the country. It's a big country. It's the size of Western Europe. So I have that blessing of knowing the reality of the west of the part of the country, and also knowing my roots and my family members who are still in the east.
Right, Kinshasa being the capital of Congo, of course.
Yes.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about memories from your childhood, about your Congo. Was there a happy Congo before you fled the country?
Definitely,
or you
definitely.
Flew? What is the past of fleeing? Fled? Yeah. Okay.
The vivid memories will always be mango. And the reason is, at least in Kinshasa, growing up, almost every house in Kinshasa had a mango tree. Now, my house, we had a mango tree, avocado tree, papaya tree, lemon tree.
What a variety.
I know.
My God, it's paradise.
I have to go to a store to buy these things. It was right in my house. I could just grab it. So I still remember the taste of that mango, that I believe that if you never had mango from the Congo, you never ate mango before. It's the sweetest mango before. It's so good, like, because I can't even go to say that the land is so fertile that it creates all the nutrients in it that makes it so tasty. Mm-hmm. So that's what I remember. Not only that, the fish from the Congo River, one specific fish called malangwa, that every Sunday, my family, we went by the Congo River. We bought the fish from the fishermen there. And we came home for the Sunday dinner. We always had that mango tree. Chasing the lighting bugs, for example. Playing soccer with friends. Being an altar boy and being engaged in my church.
Oh, you were an altar boy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also being in the
You
theater.
Had to wake up early, I think. You know, I remember that from my... Not that I ever was an altar boy, but my brothers were a long time ago. And they had to wake up early. Oh, my God. It was difficult.
Yes. Because if you don't wake up at 5 a.m. to make sure that at 5:30 the church is open, people are not going to heaven because they have to pray at 6. So that's a lot of responsibility for a young 10-year-old to be at church at early that time. But it actually taught me a responsibility of making sure that, time management, how do I engage with people, humility, understanding what was my role as a young kid to be also the church. So there are things that I got from it. But that's the Congo I grew up in, going to school. But all those things change in what I say is U.S. foreign policy. A decision that was made outside of the Congo that made not just me, but many of my countrymen suffer. Some are still inside. Some have become immigrants and fled the country. And the Congo was not a country with this war. Mm-hmm. He had his problem, but at least he was in a place where people could even come and see what is happening.
So that was under the dictatorship of Mobutu.
Absolutely.
At the time. Yeah. And that changed in 96. When did that change?
It was toppled in 1997. The war started in 1996. Okay. And then by May 1997, mm-hmm. He fled the country and he died in Morocco in September of 97.
Mm-hmm. I'd like you to talk a little bit about the circumstances, how you ended up in the United States and then how you came here in New York.
Yes.
What is the story?
I'll try to do it in 5 seconds. You know, so... my dad used to work for USAID, and he had contacts within the State Department at the time and even the project that where he was working. And then when the war started in 1996, he was really worried about our well-being because he was in the United States at the time. He received a scholarship to study at Hampton University to do his MBA at the time. So while he was in school here, the war started. So he started working with his contacts to help his family come out of the country. The process was very long. The war stopped in 97. We were still stuck in the Congo. Then in 98, the words was that there was another war coming.
And so you basically witnessed for a whole year the war in Congo as a young teen.
Yeah, but I witnessed it from a different angle. The angle I witnessed it from is living in the capital city. So okay. Those who were in the other areas, I mean, it's hard to even explain if someone has never lived in the war, yeah. That if you live in a capital city, you are very stressed because every day you wake up, you hear one town has fallen to the rebels. They are coming and coming. And then there is the government propaganda to tell you that these people are going to kill you and so on. So you live in so much stress until they come and take over the capital city. And the night they take over is even not a night that you want to remember because you remember the shelling, the bombing, the wall shaking, mm-hmm. and everything else. Mm-hmm. But we lived through that. I wouldn't consider myself very fortunate. You know, it was the circumstances that people will suffer more than we did, mm-hmm. Actually. But we lived through the first one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then came 98 and your dad decided to take the opportunity
exactly,
to come,
yeah.
to the U.S.
Actually, it was the embassy that told us we had to leave. It was very clear that the situation was going to be worse. So we left on August 2nd. We left on August 9th of 1998. The war started back on August 2nd. So we left about 7 days after the war started. And when we arrived to the U.S., the rebels have already reached the capital again, you know. And then I was young, 17 years old. I finished high school. Still remember the music of the time. I remember for the first time what I learned back home, solstice and equinox, that I actually witnessed it. That at 8 p.m. there was sun outside. I never saw that in Congo. I actually read it in books. I said, wow, there is sun at 8 p.m. How is that possible? Seeing snow for the first time, going to school, the things that actually really impressed me was high school in this country.
Were you speaking English before coming here? I know that you're multilingual because you're Congolese. I mean, you know at least what French?
Lingala and Swahili.
And Swahili, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the English I learned it here. And thanks to my English as a second language teachers, they taught me how to say window, door, how to call the cab, how to read the yellow page. So the English that I speak today is the work they actually did to help it.
Oh, really? Okay. Uh-huh. So, and it was in North Carolina,
yes,
that you arrived.
Yeah.
And you did your schooling there. And when did you come to New York?
I came in 2010.
Okay.
Yes.
So a lot must have been happening between you getting out of your undergrad college and coming here. So you became already a professional before coming to New York.
Yes, but I have a very particular path that while I was going to school, I was going part-time. So but I did have a year left in 2008. And I made what I call a radical move. I chose to stop going to school. I was studying civil engineering. and decided to stop going to school, mainly because of the conflict in the Congo. And I became a full-time activist. And I said, if I want to touch the world, there is no better place than New York City. And that's why I came to New York, to make sure that if New Yorkers know about the Congo, the whole world will know about the Congo.
Very good. And we will talk about Friends of Congo after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
If you're just joining us, this is Pardon My French, and I'm Dominique de Kock. Our guests today are Kumbale Musavuli, national spokesperson for the Friends of the Congo, and we discover how from Congo he came to start a new life in the U.S. and to become Congo's best advocate throughout the world.
Oh, Mario! Luka ta mwasi yo moko bala Mario mosalo be kulinga ba mama mobokoli Basuka yote ah
Lelo makambo lobi makambo na lembie Lelo bitumba lobi kosona na baye na boyi ko baby sanzoto na matanka na lembie Mario
Kulinga kapesi bazai na mbongo Yoka ndengi azaliko kabayo Na mitema ya basi pe na mibali Yo moto zai na badiplom mitano Mario Sala kameme foro luka mosala Mario Pona nino zako baby saka usambu sa kombo nobo Mario Ah, nalembi
Ba protinga na pakolaka Zotwe koma sembe sembe Oko pete gana soka Lopi na shwa maladi ya kanser Lobi tango na kopola yo kimi baye Mario na baye
And that was Franco et le Tipi OK. Tipi OK is an acronym of Tout Puissant Orchestre Kinshasa or All Powerful Kinshasa Orchestra. And that was a rumba band in the Democratic Republic of the Congo from June 56 until December 93. So what does the song bring up in you?
I was even singing along when you were playing it. Bring
I
back
could see that.
A lot of memories, a lot of birthday parties, weddings, driving home with my dad, sitting in the house. It brings back all those memories.
But this is an old band. So did your parents, were they aficionados of Franco y la Tipi OK?
Oh, yes. You know, that's why you see the first memories. Mm-hmm. the family gatherings and my dad actually listening to the music, okay, because that's the older generation of the music. But when you spend time with your parents, the music they listen to also influence you a lot. And, you know, Franco is one of the songs that have not just, we could say that helped birth many Congolese, also helped raise many Congolese, through, say, 56 to now. Yeah. To the late 1990s.
Right.
So that showed that, outside of that, Franco, I just found out this year, also influenced Jimi Hendrix. That in one of his interviews, he actually mentioned that, one of the people that he looked up to is the Zairean
really?
Guitar player Franco.
The Rumba jazz band, really?
Exactly.
Well, how did you get to know Friends of Congo?
I found out about Friends of the Congo in 2006 while I was a student at North Carolina NC State University, trying to bring a speaker on my campus to speak about the situation in the Congo. Ask a friend of mine who connected me to them. She was from Ghana, and she interned with them, so she felt that Friends of the Congo would be an appropriate organization to come on campus. Contacted them, and I stayed in touch with them. Then in 2008, to make the connection, I came in 1998. 2008 was 10 years after I've been here.
Right.
And then there was a frustration in me that after 10 years, why is there still war in my country? What can I do as a Congolese? And since I already knew Friends of the Congo, I reached out to them. I said, can I join you in, because I love what you do. How can I participate? How can I be part of your movement? And they just asked me to come and bring my talents, know-how, and expertise to help with the movement. And that's what I did at the time.
So who started Friends of Congo?
Friends of the Congo was co-founded by three people, one Jamaican and two Americans. They are Pan-Africanist, and they work with Congolese since the 1990s. My uncles actually worked with them in D.C. while Mobutu was in power. In the early 1990s, they were organizing protests against Mobutu and mobilizing the Congolese in the Washington, D.C. area around the situation. So they were also witness how the war started and how it has transformed to this, what people call the Africa's World War, with these millions of deaths. Then in 2003, there was a request from the Congolese that they needed to be a lobby group for Congolese, to provide Congolese with a platform in the U.S. because the U.S. had so much influence on what was going on in the Congo. And the idea is, how do we educate American people around the situation so that I can put pressure on the government to be on the right side of history? And then in 2004, they registered it as a nonprofit. It's a charitable organization, but we call it an advocacy group because we don't believe that NGOs will create change in Congo. We believe that educating the masses and letting even the Congolese on the ground know their rights and people on the outside what is actually at stake, that's where the impact will take place to transform the country.
And of course, you're an excellent orateur / speaker. is it true? TED's talk on NPR, on Dick Gordon's interview, North Carolina Public Radio, and you're quite convincing. Actually, we can hear it right now. We can do something about it, you say. So what can we do as individuals in our daily lives? Do you have any practical tips, and is it something that you bring into your advocacy speech?
Yes, we say, we want people, before they get engaged, to be educated about the situation, because it's one thing to just know, but you really have to know the dynamics of it. So we invite people to get the information on our website, that very basic thing. Get to know what's going on in the Congo. Go to friendsofthecongo.org or watch a film we created called Crisis in the Congo. It's on congojustice.org. After you find out what's going on, you mobilize. So first is educate, then mobilize. How do you do so? You can actually host a big film screening, bring 100 people into a room and watch the film, or right in your house. You call your friends, family members. You have a Saturday night, movie night at your house. I say, we are going to watch a film about the situation that's happening in the heart of Africa. And you bring them and you inform them. So when they are mobilized, so you educated your community, you mobilize them, then the next one will be supporting. No matter what we do on the outside, if the Congolese people on the inside are not able to change the situation, it's not going to change. But they need basic things. So, for example, young people on the ground need things such as cell phone with SIM cards so they can communicate with each other. They need cameras so they can document what is actually happening there. They need tools of organizing. We've done it here. I witnessed the Occupy movement. I actually spent nights at Zuccotti Park right here in Wall Street with young Americans who were challenging the 1% who get the wealth. You know what I saw in Zuccotti Park? There was a library. They had social services such as feeding people.
So they were very well organized.
So
that's what
that
you're saying.
Is needed also. Mm-hmm. And we need to provide that support to young people on the ground. Mm-hmm. Educate, mobilize, and support. And you can do that by going to friendsofthecongo.org.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Congo Week. So what is the part happening in New York?
In New York, we have Congo in Harlem. Now, Congo Week is a week-long of activities around the world where we get people to elevate the profile of the Congo, speaking about the history, the tragedy, and the potential of the Congo.
And it's happening all over the U.S., huh? I think you have screenings in North Carolina, in Texas, and so on.
So in
New York, then there's a part in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in New York, we host Congo in Harlem in a partnership with True Lean Production and the Mezzo Cinema, where we show films done by Congolese filmmakers or international filmmakers who have done a film about the Congo.
About the Congo.
And then as they present the films, we have discussion panels in some nights. Some nights we have cultural events where people will either listen to Congolese music or there will be a cultural presentation after the event. But it's a week here in New York to celebrate Congo's culture and provide Congolese with a platform where they can speak to the world uncensored about what is the challenge that they face and what do they think of what a peaceful Congo will look like.
Mm-hmm. And the first event there is Chasing Lumumba's Dream, Congo and the Vision for a Greater Africa. And that's on Saturday, October 11 at 10:15 a.m. At the City University of New York, John Jay College. That's actually, this panel is talking about, of course, Lumumba's vision.
Yes.
Political vision, and of course his assassination 1 year after the independence of Congo. Do you think the face of Africa would have changed if he would have been able to carry on?
I believe so, but also the movement with Patrice Lumumba, he wasn't alone. It was a movement of young Congolese at the time who were determined to transform not just the Congo, but the entire African continent. So he was not assassinated alone. It was a whole political class with a political ideology of self-sufficiency that was eliminated from 1960 to 1964. But what is beautiful about it is that the idea still lives. Because, right, I was not born in 1960. I know Patrice Lumumba. I know what he did, he stood for. So I believe that the ideas that he stood for will live forever. It's just now up to this generation to actually take ownership of what we will do with those ideas today.
Actually, Patrice Lumumba's face is an icon on the T-shirts of Friends of the Congo.
This is actually a message we sent to the CIA.
Oh, okay.
Where we say he was killed, he was cut in pieces and put in acid to make sure that his body is never found. But we tell them, even though you did so, his face is going to be around the world, not just for the Congolese, for people who believe in peace, justice, and human dignity, that his memory will live on forever, and people who are oppressed around the world can hold on to that image and values that say, I am Lumumba also.
And then the next event from the Congo Week here in New York is Covering Congo, and that's really hand in hand with Congo Week. That's on Thursday, October 16. And I will ask Nelson to answer on that one, as you are very much, I mean, you're the organizer of Congo in Harlem. What is this event about, Covering Congo?
Yeah, Covering Congo is a panel about journalism in Congo. And the focus of the panel is really, over the past several years, there have been major breakthroughs in terms of technology and social media and citizen journalism. And one would think that this would lead to similar breakthroughs on covering these issues that get less attention from the press. But that isn't necessarily the case. So what we're trying to do with the panel is really look at the way media and journalism, or look at the state of media and journalism around Congo, and see how the new technologies are influencing it.
And that's actually at Columbia University School of Journalism. Did I say that already? No. Okay. All right, so we will talk about Congo in Harlem after the commercial break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Pardon my French. Pardon my French. Pardon my French. Pardon my French.
Our expats from all over the French-speaking world are sharing their American adventure with emotion and humor, starting with New York. What did they bring and what made them stay? Dominique de Kock, Tamara Zuboff, and Hassania Kone are questioning them on their new vision of life.
Kabamboka musika tokende koluka bomoima sokoma mitelengano namboka mopaya nania sungayo pasina pasie
kakei kasi lobina kozonga
atandeleo
mopembo ezali
ndeliwateo
kakei kasi lobina kozonga
oyanga bakoyambanga
mopembo ezali ndeliwateo
kozonga mboka
kakei kasi lobina kozonga
yebayama
mopembo ezali ndeliwateo.
That was Nakazonka by Lokwa Kanza. Nakazonka, what does it mean?
Lokwa, I actually do not know what his name means, but I think for his song, it's actually perfect for your show. It's a song for immigrants, where he sings about, I'm gone, but tomorrow I'll return. Being lost is not death. So, and then throughout the song, he speaks about how we live in the foreign land, the challenges that we have, and then speaking about the day I will return home. So that's a perfect song, actually.
It's absolutely beautiful. Well, that is something you cannot do, is return right now.
Yes.
So do you have lots of nostalgia, and are you waiting for that day to come?
I actually have the date.
Oh, you have the date.
July 13th, 2031. My birthday will be on the Congo River, and you are officially invited today.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I definitely will be there, promise. So if you just joined us, we're talking about Congo Week with Kambale Musavuli, spokesman for Friends of Congo, and about Congo in Harlem with Nelson Walker. Now, how did you two meet? And you have to decide who's the first one to talk.
Yeah, I guess I can take that one.
Yeah.
So we first met in 2009, actually my partners and I had made a film in Congo that we shot in 2005, and that was on PBS in 2007, and there was a screening of that film downtown. The film was called Lumo, and it's about a young woman who is recovering from traumatic fistula. And so there was a screening downtown, and we were doing a panel after the film, and Kambale had been invited to be on the panel with us, and that was actually the first time we met. And so from that, you know, Kambale just has great energy, as you've been hearing right here, and we really hit it off. And we got on the train, and we're riding the train back uptown. I live in Harlem, and Kambale, I think, was in the Bronx at the time. But in any case, we were taking the train up, and we just got to talking. And I had been on a lot of panels with the film that we made, and this was, I think, the first panel that I was on where there was actually a Congolese voice on the panel. And it was really, it was an amazing experience. And we sort of just got to talking and were lamenting at how few platforms there were for Congolese voices and to actually talk about their own affairs and talk about the things that are going on in their country. And so we came up with the idea on the 2-3 subway train going north that we would try to create an event that was a platform for Congolese voices, and that's artists, activists, journalists, advocates, really anybody. And at the time, I still do work with the Maisel Cinema in Harlem, and we figured that would be a great place to launch the event, just because of because Harlem is actually would have bring great energy to
yes,
it.
Yes, of course. Could you give a brief history of Maisel Cinema?
Yeah, Maisel Cinema. So Maisel Cinema is founded by the filmmaker Albert Maisels, and he's sort of seen as really one of the fathers or founders of the direct cinema movement here in the U.S. Which is a style of cinema where it's exactly what it says. It's very direct. There aren't really any formal interviews or music or voiceover narration. It really just tries to capture reality as it unfolds. And in, I think it was around 2005, he moved up to Harlem and started a community cinema called the Maisel Cinema. And the first screening started taking place there, and I think in around 2007 and 2008.
What was he screening at the time?
It's always been, you know, there's a real commitment to, first of all, it's a real commitment to documentary
films. Okay.
But also, you know, there's a real, a lot of the films they show there deal with social issues, and, you know, there's a very strong sort of social justice bent to the programming there. You know, actually, just this weekend, they had a fantastic festival on the Black Panthers, and that's been a yearly festival, but they've had everything from Haiti in Harlem, Tibet in Harlem. You know, there are different things, different series on food and on gentrification, all of these issues. So it's a really fantastic place. Mm-hmm. It's just for everyone out there who hasn't been there. It's on Lenox Avenue between 127th and 128th Streets.
Thanks for giving the address. And we're very grateful to have actually in Congo in Harlem to have a documentary by director Albert Meisels, Rumble in the Jungle. Could you say briefly what the film is about?
Yeah, well, it's actually not a film, and it's even more
documentary.
It's actually more special than a documentary in a way. So, in 1974, and I'm sure a lot of listeners out there are familiar, there was a huge event called Rumble in the Jungle, which was the heavyweight championship match taking place between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And at the time, Mobutu, who was the president of Congo, he bankrolled the event and basically wanted to make it this huge sort of media frenzy to put Zaire on the map in a way. And so all of these different musical acts and celebrities went over there for about 2 weeks of celebration before the fight actually took place. And Albert was there, invited along to film with everybody there. So in the lead up to the event, he was filming with people. I mean, some of the celebrities who were there were people like James Brown, Miriam Makeba, Bill Withers, B.B. King, the Pointer Sisters. I mean, pretty much anyone you can think of was there. And Albert was there documenting. So he filmed with a lot of the performers backstage in their dressing rooms or when they were just hanging out. A lot of the footage that he shot has been used in films like When We Were Kings, which is a film about, it's a fantastic film that we've shown in the past at Congo and Harlem about the fight itself. And then there's another great film called Soul Power that's about the musical events around the fight. We've shown both of those at Congo and Harlem in the past. And much of the footage that Albert shot was actually incorporated into those films. But we have quite a bit of footage from his personal archive that we've had access to, and we're going to be showing outtakes, stuff that was never shown in the films, or things that were, you know, we'll show extended scenes that were maybe cut to very short moments.
Are you involved in the editing of that hidden footage, if I can say?
Yeah, we're assembling it.
It's outtakes,
so it's raw footage, and there's something actually really special about that, is that you really get a chance to see behind the scenes and also really see things in a very real way. You know, we're not going to be editing it into full scenes. The one thing is that Albert is one of the greatest documentary cameramen alive, and he shoots in a way where it's almost like it's edited in camera. And so his footage is just really glorious to watch and can carry itself as though, you know, these are scenes. So really the idea is to kind of show, we have to keep it interesting because you don't want to bore people in there, but there's amazing footage. I mean, there's stuff where it's like Miriam Makeba just hanging out and singing in a house, or James Brown, you know, talking to people on the airplane. It's really entertaining footage. Yeah,
very live. And of course, after that, we're going to have a Q&A with Albert Meisels himself, which is terrific. So how do you pick out your films for the festival, beside the fact that they all have to be related to Congo? And are you involved in that too, Kumbale?
I think it's a collaboration. Lina Nelson are the programmers of the series, and then we recommend some of the films. But the idea really beyond Congo and Harlem is, how do we bring to light what people do not know about the Congo? It needs to be something that's vibrant, something that's engaging, something that brings out a discussion. We've had events where, one thing that I love about Congo and Harlem is the audience. the audience are the smarter. They are smarter than the panelists. They challenge the panelists. They ask questions. They provide comments that makes the whole experience so vibrant. So that's why we do Congo in Harlem. With the programming, the films being selected is how do we bring the beauty of the Congo, the challenges that it faces, but also engage people in the process and making them feel part of Congo in Harlem.
And of course, Congo in Harlem is more than just movies and discussion. It's an opportunity to discover Congolese food, music, artwork, and of course, learn about Congo's challenges. I just want to mention that screenings are open to the public at a suggested donation of $10. So it starts October 16 with Covering Congo, which we already covered here on the show. And then the opening night movie on Sunday the 19th is Sister Oyo. So what does Oyo mean?
Oyo is, I think it's tricky. Oyo is that sister. Oyo is that sister.
Okay.
You know, and I have not seen the film. I think I will have to pass on to you, actually, what's the meaning from Monique. Yeah. Around Sister
That's
Oya.
Right. That is by director Monique Foba.
And it's a fantastic film. Monique,
it's a short, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a short film. Monique Foba is she's actually a great documentary filmmaker and has been making documentary films for many years at this point. And this is her first fiction film, which is about it follows a young Congolese girl who is in a French school. It's one of the first French schools. It's actually a period piece that takes place in the 1950s, and so it follows this young girl who's in a French language school in Congo, and she starts having these sort of visions of her grandmother. And it's just a really beautiful, poetic film, and we thought a great way to kick off the series.
Mm-hmm. And so that young Congolese girl, she was part of the évolué, as we say in French. Mm-hmm. Can you translate that in English and say what the évolué were at the time?
Oh, I mean, I think it's tough. Maybe civilized will be the term.
Civilized.
But it seems to be parallel also with what was happening in the United States in terms of having blacks who could not be drinking at the fountain. So the same situation of racial segregation and discrimination in this country was also happening on the continent at the same time. So with people being evolué or civilized, you had a specific card that allowed you to do certain things. So if you are a civilized person, mm-hmm. quote unquote, is you can go to the store, you can go to the cinema, you can drive a car, you know, they give you access.
All kinds of privileges,
exactly.
Basically.
Yes.
Are there many, before the commercial break, are there many African women in cinema?
That's actually, I'm not as familiar with the overall landscape of African cinema. We're pretty focused mm-hmm. on Congo. I can say that there are actually very few women who are making films in Congo.
In Congo.
That are being seen on an international scale like
okay.
this.
And we'll get back to Congo in Harlem after the break.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Hassania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Original. Hustle. Hustle. Trop d'avance comme Rolls-Royce sur moto. Fali Ipupa Dicap la merveille. Original. Original. Listen, écoutez bien.
Get up and dance, dance.
Africa, viens danser. Europa, viens danser. America, les dance. Sud America, pour moi, stage. Asia, high.
Hip bazooka, haya.
And that was Fally Ipupa. Seems to be an extremely famous Congolese singer. He actually got the Best Live Act category at the 2014 MTV Africa Music Awards. And it looks like he's more your generation than any other singers you picked out so far.
Yeah, and I think the selection showed the transition from the older generation to the slow music and what young people are listening to today. So that's the beauty of the Congolese music is so different and also incorporate traditional music, as you can hear in
and
the guitar.
And instruments, yes, sure. And it's multilingual song, yes, yes, also. Yes. But let's get back to Monique Fauba, actually, who's more known as a documentarist, you say, or documentary?
Yeah, documentarian.
Documentarian, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So she made a great series of documentaries, and there's one you were talking about, when Congo was selected for the Mondial, the soccer. Yep.
It seems that it's the same year as the fight, 1974. Mm. It's actually the same year. In 1974, Congo was the first country in sub-Saharan Africa to be
selected.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because they won the African Cup that year, and that was a very good team. As they went there, the first game they lost 9-0. Second game, I think it was 2-1. Mm-hmm. Third one was 3-2, and they were eliminated. So the story behind it is that we really did not play well. You know, there was all these different theories. But what Monique did, she had students that she took into her class who created a documentary with her to tell the story of what happened in 1974 and compare the dysfunctionality of that team with the 2006 election in Congo to show the parallels between how Congo played back in 1974 and how the election in 2006 actually happened. Very fascinating documentary, actually.
And actually, we're going to have elections in 2016, and I see that Congo in Harlem organized this peace and stability in DRC discussion panel. So who is going to host it, and what is it about?
Well, the moderator of the panel is Jason Stearns, who's one of the greatest bloggers on Congo right now, and he actually wrote a fantastic book called Dancing in the Glory of Monsters, and is just very, very knowledgeable. So it's a real treat to have him there moderating the panel. The panel, actually, it's going to cover the upcoming 2016 elections and the transition into the next government. So the current president of Congo, Joseph Kabila, is scheduled to finish his second term in 2016. And the Constitution at this point says that a president can only serve for two terms. But Kabila and his...
His father also served.
His father was the president beforehand. Mm-hmm. In any case, there's been murmurings that Kabila may change the Constitution so that he can run for a third term. And that poses a real problem because, according to the peace framework agreement that the UN and many countries have signed, one of the preconditions for the peace framework is good governance. And if you have the president changing the constitution, then that poses some problems for good governance. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to look at in the panel is actually, to try to parse out a little bit about what people think might happen and what the implications are of that.
You're also showing in Congo in Harlem a very old movie, which was a propaganda movie shot in 1955, Bwana Kitoko, which means handsome man, I think, in Lingala. Is that what it means?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's about the first trip to Congo from King Baudouin, 1955, and the enthusiasm with how he was greeted by the people. As 5 years later, the state would become independent. And there had already been a crisis, I think, in 51. So is that just the life of the trip, the movie?
Yeah, I mean the movie follows his travels throughout Congo, and actually he ends up in Rwanda and Burundi in sort of later in the film as well. Mm-hmm. But for us, the film is actually an amazing window into the past, both a window into the geography and to what the place was like at the time, and also a window into the colonial mindset that that has so affected Congo. And so the film itself is, you see Congo at the height of the colonial era with skyscrapers, with airports, and at the same time, you also, the film also is a very challenging film in many ways, because the way that it treats the Congolese people, in some ways, actually, it literally compares them to animals at certain points in the film. And I think for an American audience who is not as familiar with what was happening there, what Congo looked like, it's a really valuable document. So the idea is to show the film, and, it's not a film that is easy to show on its own. So this is where in Congo and Harlem, we really privileged conversation, dialogues. So we are going to have a scholar of actually Belgian colonial propaganda. His name is Matthew Stannard, and we'll actually have some other guests as well to host a conversation about colonial propaganda.
Excellent. I'd like to meet this man, actually, my compatriot. And then your closing night is with Virunga Park. And Virunga is the name of the movie, and I think it's the oldest national park in Africa.
Yeah, the oldest national park in Africa.
And home to mountain gorillas, but it also happens to be one of the most unstable because there's a lot of minerals in the park, and it's made by a London-based filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Virunga has been a huge commercial success this year, actually. It's one of the biggest films about Congo out on the sort of festival and theatrical circuit right now. And the film looks at Virunga Park through the warden of the park and the park rangers, and then also exposes a multinational corporation that is trying to drill for oil in the park.
I see.
It's a sensational film. It's almost like an action film,
mm-hmm.
But it exposes actually some of the nefarious activities that are taking place in these national parks.
Well, I cannot encourage you enough, dear listeners, especially if you live in New York and even outside of New York. It's worth the trip. Go and see Congo in Harlem. I will post it on the Facebook page of Pardon My French. So it's congoinharlem.org, I think, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, www.congoinharlem.org.
And CongoWeek is .com.
.org.
Oh, .org as well.
Yes,
okay.
CongoWeek.org. Mm.
Well, my next guest, believe it or not, is going to be a total different subject, is Monty Taylor, who is the specialist in astrology, very cultured and enthusiastic man about reading in the stars. So I'm very excited about that. I want to thank you so much for being with me. It was really an honor and a pleasure to talk about Congo Week and Congo in Harlem. And thank you, the Talking Alternative Network. So now we're going for Coffee Talk with Kevin Barbaro. Don't forget coffeetalk.po. Can you read that for me? No? Okay. So this is to come. Stay tuned. Thank you.
This was Pardon My French.
Thanks for listening to the show. Till our next rendezvous. Goodbye.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.